Well, good morning. As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, let's hear these words from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not fear, for I am with you. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning, we lean into your promise from ages ago that is just as true today as it was then. That you are a God who has chosen out of the goodness of your heart to be with us, your people. To walk with us, to protect us, to give us strength and peace in the trials. To give us hope when they say there is no hope. To give us joy when our world is in turmoil. You are the God who goes before us. You are the God who comes behind us. You are the God that is to our left and to our right. You are the God who is within us. And you have chosen for it to be that way, O God. You could so easily have not created it all. Or you could have created and moved away and left us to fend for ourselves. But instead, you chose to create and to lean in and to draw near, so near that you would come and dwell among us, so near that you would send your Spirit to be with us. So this morning, O God, we pause for a moment before anything else, just to acknowledge that even as we feel the wind on our skin, your Spirit is here, just as real, just as near. Awaken our hearts to your presence, O God. And knowing that you're here with us, it is our joy to lift up our voices and sing to you. May what we offer in this place bring you pleasure and delight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we continue in our series on what is our unique calling in life. We are called. If you'll turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, then we're going to check 2 Kings chapter 7 and then John chapter 4. So get ready to flip around a little. Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 9. Now there were four leprous men outside the city gate, who said to one another, why should we sit here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit here, we shall also die. Therefore, let us desert to the Aramean camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they arose at twilight to go to the Aramean camp. But when they came to the edge of the camp, there was no one there at all, For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "The king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. When these leprous men came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, ate and drank, carried off silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back, entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "What we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, we will be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." And then John chapter 4, Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Verse 28, then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Verse 39, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Would you pray with me? Father God, we turn to your word this morning, because we want to know our calling. We believe that you have created us in your own image to love you and to enjoy this life that you've given us to live. And Father, we believe that the fullest enjoyment of that life is in living into the calling that you've placed on us, into accepting your invitation that you've given us. And so, Father God, as we turn to these stories this morning that are our story, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you will help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you will help us do what is ours to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, I spent most of my summers at my grandparents' house. You've heard me talk about my grandparents a lot. They were dear people in my life, and they lived on a lake. So this was like the perfect summer spot. The days with them would be spent fishing for perch off the dock, going on boat rides, rope swings. By night, my grandma would make some kind of homemade dinner, and there was dessert every single night. After dinner, she and I would get together around the card table and play a game of Skip-Bo or Old Maid. And Sundays with my grandparents were church days. And I mean church days. My grandpa was a pastor, and so we would literally be at church all day long on Sunday. We'd get there extra early to set up for Sunday school, and then there was big church, and then there was the potluck lunch, and then right around 6 o'clock, when you had just barely gone home, you'd start making your way back to the church, and the people you had just seen would be there again, ready to worship again. Sunday evenings at my grandparents' church, they were more casual. And so my grandpa, rather than sit up on the stage where he was in the morning, he would be able to sit in the pew right there next to me. And I loved that. I loved those Sunday evenings because I could sit there and stand there and I could hear my grandpa sing. in his deep voice. As we'd belt out the great hymns, I would hear my grandpa, and he would sing with such confidence as if he actually believed the words that he was saying were true. And he sang with such conviction that these words mattered, and he sang with such love for the one that he was singing to. And to this day, when I hear the words of one of his favorite hymns, I can be right back in that little Texas church beside my grandpa, hearing him sing it out. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, you know it? No, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's a good reminder, isn't it? That no matter what hard stuff you carried into this place today, the truth is always this, that God's blessings in your life still far outweigh the struggle. Right? Isn't that right? Sometimes when we get weighed down or when we get weary or discouraged, we just have to start naming all of the ways that God is being good to us. So maybe we could just try it this morning. Maybe we could just name some, shall we? We've got a lot of people here today, but you're like extra quiet today. So this might be awkward, but let's just try it. Let's just try to count some blessings together, okay? So what you got? Just shout them out. Some kind of blessing, some way that you've seen God's goodness lately. What do you got? Anything?
Maggie.
Health. Maggie. I like it. Keenan, something Andy said from the very, very back. The beautiful creation that we get to worship in. Great facilities that we have to bless families in our town and our church. Our own families, our worship team. The gift of technology that lets folks connect who may not connect otherwise. The beautiful space that God's given us. Health, provisions, peace, and struggles. What'd you say?
Nathaniel,
yes. Who's Nathaniel?
The
little guy that's here. Awesome. Strength that we have to endure. Intimacy we have with the God who is near. Could the blessings go on and on? Got any more?
You.
Thanks, Tina. You too.
Yeah.
The gift of church family. Your wife. I love it.
Ronan,
yes, I love it. I'm feeling better already. Just proclaiming with you that our God is good to us. We are blessed, are we not? And so the question for this morning is not so much, are we blessed or are we not blessed? Because we know that we are blessed. And so the question for this morning is, so what are we to do with this blessedness? Recognizing it, giving thanks for it, that is the right first response. So often we don't even get that far, do we? Recognize it, give thanks. But is that it? Has God blessed us just to make us grateful? Just so we can sing this hymn, Count Your Many Blessings? Or is there more to this blessedness stuff? See, that question first hit me like a ton of bricks when I was 16 years old. I grew up in this upper middle class suburban neighborhood in the Dallas area. And all the kids around me had enough and more than enough as far as provisions go. When we were 16, every kid in the school got a new car. Just what happened. This was normal life to me. 16 years old, spring break, our church did a mission trip. We drove about 6 hours south and traveled 1 mile into Mexico. This was our big international trip. We were 1 mile from Texas. But you wouldn't know it. 1 mile from Texas, and we were in a totally different world. And as a 16-year-old that week, the first time in my life, I was surrounded by poverty. Families, multiple families living together in these little makeshift shacks. Kids who came to the church for beans and rice each day because otherwise they would have nothing to eat. And on the last day of that trip, as we load up our little 15-passenger vans to head back to our little suburban life, I remember almost being angry at God. And I asked him, I said, God, it's not fair. Why do I have all that I have? And these people are barely making it. God, why are your blessings not better dispersed? And you know, that was 20 years ago. And about 2 weeks ago, I found myself asking the exact same question again. We sent off one of our students to college, and boy, she had to just pull pennies from every direction to try to make it happen, and there was still no guarantee she was going to get to stay in that place. No family to support her. And I said, God, when I was 18, I had a family who just paved the way for me and said, Jamie, whatever you want to be, go try to be it. We're behind you. We'll bless you. We've worked hard to make a way for you. I said, why did I get all of that? And she's got none of that. God, why are your blessings not better dispersed? What am I to do with my blessedness? And I remember sitting with my parents after that mission trip at a restaurant talking about the week. And I threw this question out. What am I to do? What am I to do? Why do we have so much and they have so little? And I remember the response, Jamie, we've all been blessed so we may bless. And 2 weeks ago, this church family heard a need of one of our students who needed some stuff. And people stood up and said, I've been blessed, so I can bless. What are we to do with our blessing? We are to bless. Count your many blessings for sure, but don't stop there. Each one of them, God has given to us for the exact specific reason that we might then go out and share the blessing with others. You don't believe me? You're not convinced? That's okay. Just read our story, because it turns out it's a recurring theme. Genesis 12, that is the very beginning of the story of our God with his people. And in that story, God shows up in the life of this guy named Abram, soon to be Abraham. And he says, Abram, go from your family and your job and your home to the place that I'm going to show you. And he says, here's the blessing. I'm going to make of you a great nation, Abram. And your name is going to be great. And your descendants are going to be many. Count your many blessings, Abram. Name them one by one. Land. A future, a good name, a good reputation, a great family. Count your many blessings. But from the very beginning, did you catch it? God makes it clear why he's being so good to Abram. And it's so that all will come to know the goodness of God through Abram. God's not just being good to Abram just so Abram and his people can one day sing a really good hymn with all their heart. But he's doing it so that they will be a blessing. Did you see that? God says, through you, Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Says, Abram, I'm doing all of this for you, giving all of this to you so that through you, all of this will be done for them too. God's blessing Abram, and so Abram will go and bless the earth. Abram was called to be a blessing, and he's the father of our faith, and so we're called to be a blessing too. In 2 Kings 7, was that a new story for you guys? It's a great story, and it's not very familiar. 2 Kings 7, there's these four lepers. They're waiting outside the city gate to die. And the city where they came from, there's a great famine there. And so they say there's no use going back. They're all starving too. But staying where they are outside the city gate as lepers, death is imminent there as well. So no good staying here, they say. They only have one option left. And that's to go to the enemy's camp. and just see if by some chance the enemy will have mercy on them. And it's a long shot, but they're already good as dead, and so better a long shot than no shot at all. And so these four lepers, they make out, and then they approach the camp. And they're already hated by those people because of where they come from. And now they come bringing this contagious disease with them. They know that they're walking into a death trap. Imagine their trepidation. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. But they're starving. And when you're starving, you'll do some crazy things. When they get near the camp, it's eerily quiet and it's still. And they soon realize that it's totally empty. The folks have left, and they'll find out later that all the people are gone because the Lord caused them to hear this army, the sound of chariots and horses coming for them. And they thought that the big old army of Israel and the Hittites and the Egyptians were all going to come get them. And so just like that, they fled from that place, left all their things behind, tents, horses, donkeys, silver, gold, food, it's all left behind. Imagine the scene. These four lepers who had sat outside the city gate for weeks, months, years maybe, begging for any crumb of food that anybody might give to them, nothing to call their own. And here they are, just four of them, with all of the goods of an entire army to themselves. They've got food to feast on today and plenty to store up for weeks to come. They've got horses and donkeys that they can have, that they can use, that they can sell. They've got silver and gold. They've got beds to sleep on. Everything they've gone without, now it is all theirs. What a blessing. We could say, count your many blessings, lepers. Name them one by one. God's provided all you ever needed and more. Aren't you surprised by what God has done? And so there in this empty enemy camp, these four lepers, they rejoice and they dance and they start to accumulate all their stuff. All that they can place in their pockets, they stuff it down and they start loading up stuff to take back to their camp. And they come back later for more. And they go to one tent and they pillage that tent. And they take all the stuff to their secret spot. Then they go back to the next tent and the next tent. And for a moment, they're thinking of how this is going to finally elevate them above all those people who pushed them out. All this stuff is going to make them the envy of all those folks who turned them away. They're going to use their blessings to really go and show some folks who's on top now. And all these years later, how often do we still turn God's blessings in our lives into the very things that keep us from community? The very things that make us feel better than others or separate from others. That's what these guys were about to do. Until they get this moment of clarity that changes everything. As they're dragging out their ninth load of junk, you can imagine their pants falling off because their pockets are full. And you can imagine the gold chains around their necks and the purple scarves tied around their heads. And they all of a sudden realize how ridiculous they look. And someone says, "This isn't right. We're doing this all wrong. We've missed the whole point." They said, "This is a day of good news. And if we stay silent about it, we become guilty." They said, "We've been blessed. If we dare keep this to ourselves, this blessing will become a curse." Count your blessings, lepers. Then take what you've found and enjoy the mess out of sharing that blessing with one and with all. Those lepers were blessed to be a blessing. And they're our brothers. We're blessed to be a blessing too. And finally, there's that day when Jesus meets that Samaritan woman at the well. You know the story. She's there at noon and she's all by herself. Hours after that morning rush for water had come and gone, she's intentionally trying to be alone. We'll find out why from Jesus when he begins to name her deepest secrets. He tells us that she's been married 5 times and the guy she's with now, she's not married to at all. Scandalous. It's impure. And you can't help but ask, why have they all left her? Or why has she left all of them? What do you start believing about yourself when it seems impossible to get someone to love you? What do you start believing about yourself when all of your relationships just end up in heartache and failure? What does the town start to say about you when you're on the 6th guy in 6 years? Whatever it is, it's enough to make her want to stay far away from it all. From the gossip, from the glares. Jesus finds her. He always finds us. And he dares to carry on the conversation with her. And in this conversation, along with telling her that he knows who she really is, Jesus takes this amazing risk on letting her in on knowing who he really is. They say the Messiah's coming, she says. I am he, Jesus replies. The first person he tells the good news that the Savior has come and it's him. And all of John, the first person, is not some rabbi and not some king, but it's the shame-filled woman hiding at a well. That is our Jesus. Isn't he amazing? He looks her in the eye and he says, I see you and I love you and I will let you see and love me too. This is a day of blessing. All the shame that's kept her alone, just like that, it's lifted. All of the ways that she's felt judged for all of these years, in this moment of being seen, she's healed. All the regret that she carries is held there at the well by her Savior. Count your many blessings, Samaritan woman, for Jesus has made you free. What does she do with this good news? What does she do with the blessedness? But she runs into town and she goes door to door and she's yelling out to one and to all, come, everybody come. He's at the well, the one who knows everything I've ever done, the Messiah, our Savior, he's here. Come, see for yourself. Come, get free yourself. Come, find love yourself. He's here. He's waiting for you to know you and to save you too. Come. The Samaritan woman, blessed with the grace of Jesus, immediately ran off to be a blessing. To share that grace with the very people who had hurt her and pushed her away. She was blessed to bless. And she is our sister. We are blessed to be a blessing too. We have a calling, my friends. This morning, the question is, how are we doing with our calling? You know, the news is crazy these days. Did y'all know that? Yeah, news is crazy these days. And sometimes you'll hear these conspiracies thrown out there that claim that there are cures for COVID-19, but the government's keeping them a secret. And most of us don't believe stuff like that. But just the idea of it is enough to make us furious, right? If we think that there might be a known cure out there, to help people stay alive and to get people back to work and back to school and to let senior adults and hospital patients have visitors again. And if we think that someone is intentionally keeping that to themselves, Everything in us says what those lepers said. That's just wrong. If you've got a blessing that can change the world for good, it's just wrong to sit on it and do nothing with it at all, right? But how often am I like those lepers before their hearts awakened? How often am I that woman at the well before she ran back to town shouting the good news? Knowing that the Savior is here. The Savior has come. And how often can I walk right by folks who are so lost and not bother to let them in on the good news? How often am I happy enough to stock my pantries and cushion my bank account, thanking God for my many blessings that I fully intend to keep to myself? How often am I eager to sit at Jesus' feet and to ask him to tell me again how much he loves me and how eager he is to forgive me? And then I hold that love and that forgiveness inside of myself and refuse to give it to others. How often do I count my many blessings and name them one by one and then tuck them away in my little hiding place and so that nobody will mess with them? When the very reason that God gave them to me is to bless the world through me. Blessed all of us for this one reason, you guys, to be a blessing. That's our calling, my friends. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? This week, how about we just try out some blessing? Why not? If you've been set free by God in any way from anything, count that blessing. And then go out and help set someone else free. If you've stumbled into God's grace, count that beautiful blessing and then go out and share that grace with someone who has hurt you. If you've received some good news, what a blessing, count it and then spread the word. Look around you, there are folks who are dying to hear some good news too. If you've become convinced that you are deeply loved by the God of all gods, the best blessing around, count it, my friends, and then have some fun deeply loving someone who's not so sure about this God of love yet. If you've had some needs provided for, blessings, each one of them, count them, my friends, and then see about providing for the needs of another. Our blessings are from God. All of them. Count them. Thank him. Then let's dare to ask God how to bless the world with them. Because that is why God chose you for these blessings at all. Because he thought you might actually have some fun blessing the world through it. So how are we doing? Are we having fun being a blessing yet? You look like you're having a lot of fun. You have a calling, you guys. I have a calling. We are blessed to be a blessing. Might the world actually be a better place this week because a bunch of blessed people went out ready to have some fun doing some blessing. Let's have some fun walking with our God, pouring out his love and his grace on a world in need of blessing. You've got it in you. Let it flow out. Why keep it to yourself? It loses all its joy when we do that. Tell the good news. Share the blessing. You have a calling. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do count our many blessings. And we are surprised by what you have done for us. You are so good, God. Abundantly good to us. Forgive us, God, for when we moan and groan and complain more than we give thanks. Wow. How quickly our hearts become hard to how good you are. This morning, they're soft, at least for now. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.